I didn't start doing the blog full time until I could find a way to make revenue out of it. I think the big mistake a lot of influencers make is jump in saying, okay, now where do I make the money? And then that can be very stressful because you then have to make a lot of compromises on your content or you're not happy doing what you do. So I always did the blog on the side for fun and then slowly shaped it into a business over time. I never knew I was an influencer. There was no such word back when I started either. So it is scary to do that, but I think sometimes you just get a gut feeling and you know. And even if sometimes it goes wrong, it's okay. You know, there's no situation from which you can't recover. If you know that you have certain skills that you can go back and find a new job somewhere, sometimes it's good to take a risk.
Is there future in blogging? This is a question that we get asked often on Twitter, Instagram, emails, across our channels. But today on this episode, we're going to bring somebody who is going to tell you how to build an empire, literally an empire. I'm not even exaggerating here, to build an empire just by starting to blog as a side project or as a hobby. Hello everyone, my name is Pawan Rochwani and welcome to this episode of Pepper Spotlight. And before I introduce you all to the guest of this episode, which I am very sure, even if I just say the word miss, you all will know who this guest is today. I want to share with you all a very interesting and exciting thing that we are doing at Pepper Content. We are doing Elevate the Content Summit on 23rd October, which is going to be a massive global summit. You can request an invite to attend this summit via the link in the description of this episode. So go ahead if you want to attend, and it's completely free. No, you don't have to pay any money, $100, $200, $100, nothing like that. It's just that we want to make sure that the audience who's going to attend this summit is really, really interested in this and are from the content ecosystem and are connected to Pepper Content. So we want to give this exclusivity to people who are subscribed to us, who have been part of our community in the past or are frequent listeners of our podcast. So just for those reasons, just go ahead, request an invite for the summit and you'll be able to attend the best content summit that India has ever seen. Now, moving on to who the guest of today's episode is, Malini Agrawal. I think probably you all must have seen their content, videos, IG posts, blogs, everywhere across. And today we're going to speak to Malini about how she built this entire ecosystem of content by just starting it as a hobby sometime in 2008, around that period. Without any delay, let's just get into this conversation. And you all will listen to my conversation with her, which was pre-recorded over a Zoom call. Thank you so much, Malini, for being on Pepper Spotlight. You don't know how big of a fan the entire people around me are, like my sister, my wife, some team members from Pepper. I think their Insta feed is always, filled up with your content and your page. So very, very happy to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
You know, there are a lot of things that I want to ask you about your entire journey and some things about the content world as well. But I think some people yet don't fully know as to what Miss Malini is and the entire tribe as well. Why don't we start with from you, no better person than you. Why don't you just tell our listeners what it really is about, what the entire tribe is, and some pieces of how you started this.
Sure. So there's two big pieces to what I do. I started off as a blogger, as you know, in entertainment and Bollywood, but it's really expanded out. So Miss Malini Entertainment is basically a very digital savvy media network for the global millennial and Indian millennial. And we do everything from covering Bollywood, fashion, lifestyle, all of that, and beauty. And we recently launched something called Miss Malini Trending, which actually also covers influencers, just like we talk about celebrities, since they are the new celebrities. And we have been creating content like that for many years. Aside from that, my business has many other pieces that people don't know about. We have our own in-house ad agency called Agent M Creative, where we make full-fledged ad films for different brands. We also recently launched Ignite Edge, which is our own influencer marketing agency, where we talent marketing agency. So we have more than 20 talents already signed up with us exclusively. We just launched that, in fact, about 10 days ago. And the other thing that we have is an app called Malini's Girl Tribe. It's called Girl Tribe by Miss Malini on iOS and Android. And the whole premise of that app was to create a kinder, safer, more welcoming internet experience for women, especially because every woman who's watching, and I'm sure your sister, your wife will tell you, their DMs are filled with all sorts of nonsense. So just to create a space that's healthy, happy, and nurturing and allows you to use social media in the best way possible. So those are the pieces of it. My journey started off as a professional backup dancer for Sukhbir many years ago, probably 1998. And then I became a radio jockey for many years. I always dabbled in digital. So I used to be a channel head at mtvindia.com. Then I ran digital content at Channel V. So I moved around in various jobs like that. And I used to write a gossip column in Midday called Malini's Mumbai. Looking back, it was probably the first iteration of the blog. So I always had multiple jobs at any given point, and then eventually it all culminated in 2008 to me starting a hobby blog that I did on the side for many years. And then 2010 I got some angel funding and decided to drop everything else and do this full time.
Wow, how quickly you have summed it up and the multiple different things that you have done. I'm very sure the entire journey might be very, very thrilling. But tell me this, and a lot of our listeners who right now are independent creators and bloggers and freelancers, they might, want to know this from you. When you're juggling between multiple projects and also sometimes doing a job and having something on the side as a hobby, how do you really get that confidence as to, okay, I want to quit that job and, go ahead and believe in the project that I want to
do. So I'm Marwari. So it's always been about having a full-time steady income and job. And I was always very hesitant to jump ship and do something else in the middle of, doing something freelance was always a bit scary for me. But I think there are certain experiences that you have that teach you that if you don't jump now, it's now or never. So when I was working at MTV India, a friend of mine actually told me that they're doing auditions for radio. So one lunch break, I decided to go and audition and they offered me the job, but it was part-time. And so I wasn't sure if I wanted to quit and do it, but the programming director at Aditya Patwardhan there told me I'd be making a big mistake if I didn't follow this because I have a real talent for it. And sometimes you have to believe people when they show belief in you. So I decided to quit that job, but I was still, open to doing other things. So I was, doing my radio show and I was still, writing my column. So I feel like it was the right time to do that and still dabble in other things. I didn't start doing the blog full time until I could find a way to make revenue out of it. I think the big mistake a lot of influencers make is jump in saying, okay, now where do I make the money? And then that can be very stressful because you then have to make a lot of compromises on your content or you're not happy doing what you do. So I always did the blog on the side for fun and then slowly shaped it into a business over time. I never knew I was an influencer. There was no such word back when I started either. So it is scary to do that, but I think sometimes you just get a gut feeling and And even if sometimes it goes wrong, it's okay. There's no situation from which you can't recover. If you know that you have certain skills that you can go back and find a new job somewhere, sometimes it's good to take a risk.
Yeah. And I was just thinking about this, that you have been in radio, in writing, and, two very, very important content pieces, let's say today in terms of, podcasting or anything related to writing. Tell us about how, that hobby really shaped up and when did that small little funding sort of came in and what was like that one leap of faith that you took in when you did full time and you started doing that full time?
I think for me, it's when I look back, it all makes sense that all the pieces fell into place. But if you asked me back then, was I planning to do this? Was I planning to build a media empire? No, I had no idea. And I think a lot of different things sort of fell into place, like I said. I think for me, the real moment of deciding to do it was somebody had actually offered to buy 25% of the company back in 2008. And at that point, I was like, I could do that. It's just brand new and it's fine. But then I sat down with my co-founders, Mike Melly and my now husband, Nashad Rizwanullah. And they said, look, there's something here. We should do it and build it on our own. And I remember sitting there with them in my living room and saying, I'm going to do it if you guys are in it with me for the long run. And they both said yes. So we took that leap of faith and then we went and raised that first round of funding. And that's when, you know, you hire a real team, everything becomes really real and you have numbers you have to hit, you have to hire employees. It's not just you writing fun blogs anymore. So then that sort of starts to take shape as a digital magazine. And I guess the big differentiator for us, which now is a huge industry that people didn't probably even realize then, was that I was an individual voice, a content creator in that sense, in the Bollywood and entertainment and fashion and beauty lifestyle, which didn't exist at that point. And I think people were, they were attracted to it. They liked it, but they didn't know what to call it because nothing like that existed. So that was very exciting because we got to sort of carve a new industry. And today you see it's booming. It's a massive, massive industry. And so I feel like we must have done something right. And I guess we were ahead of the curve in that sense. And we feel good about the fact that we've always done that. We've always developed new things. So, you know, aside from all the things we've done, we started digital, but we've done 10 seasons of television shows as well. We've done radio, we've done podcasts, we've, you know, because I have a background in all these things as well. So we've never limited ourselves to one platform, which I think has been very important as well.
Yeah. And, you know, in the beginning of this conversation, you were also referring that how influencers now are like the celebrities. You know, tell us about how it was. Like, I came on the internet, like Instagram, Facebook on in 2014, 15. So I really don't know how it was like in the 2008s and 10s. I just remember there was Orkut and Facebook was just like pretty new. But what really was the term content or content marketing, content creator so well known during those days? Or
how I don't think so. I'm not exactly sure when the word was coined, but I think that it started to develop over time. I think a couple of different things happened. Of course, Instagram used to be iPhone only. So it was a little more elite. And then, you know, things like TikTok came along and there was content creators were anybody and everybody. And, you know, when you differentiate between celebrities and influencers, everybody between influencers and celebrities are also content creators. And I think the word influencer, unfortunately, sometimes has a negative connotation. But I think that the best way to refer to everyone is talent, which is why I call my agency a talent management agency, which is Ignite. So I think the interesting shift that happened is that people started popping up, creating their content online. And we started to see it internationally. It always happens there. Then we sort of see it develop here. For me, my role models were blogs like Perez Hilton, Just Jared, Pop Sugar. And then we started seeing people like Lily Singh. We started seeing all these different creators coming about. And it started to filter into the Indian context as well, where you didn't need much. You just had to have an internet connection, a YouTube account, and you were good to go. And it started to really resonate with people. Also, I think internet penetration with mobile phones, with Jio, all of these things made a big difference, where suddenly everybody was consuming so much content as well. And so as a result, this entire industry sort of grew and blew up from the perspective of the consumer and the creator. And all these platforms were coming in, trying to get eyeballs from, you know, your Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, you name it. Everyone was here trying to get a piece of a very large pie. India has a billion people, you know, so it's a huge amount if you think about it. So I think that was the kind of shift that happened where suddenly people were looking to the digital environment, the digital world, the virtual world to get their content more than films. And now you've seen it escalate even more, you know. In lockdown pretty much for 2 years, and who's going to the cinema? All your content, even your film stars are doing TV shows and series now. Everybody is consuming their content. We're having this conversation not in person, we're doing it on a virtual platform. So people are spending so much of their time online. You are not seeing advertising on billboards, you're not seeing it so much in magazines, you're seeing it where people are, you know, so everybody's where the party is. So I think that's where the shift happened. And even for me, I only started using Twitter, I think 2008, I didn't really use it, the account, until many years later. It's all because initially it was one of those things where you didn't really think about this as a business. You thought of this as leisure, something that you do to distract yourself. But then you started to realize that it's a very legitimate potential business avenue as well.
And I'm learning so much just in the first 5-10 minutes of this conversation. And before I ask you another a little serious question, let me throw in like a light question to you, which is what kind of content do you enjoy consuming right now? Like in 2021, when you have literally explored, created different kind of contents and also consume, what kind of content do you enjoy consuming on the internet?
You know, I really like, there's a range of things. So I like a lot of inspirational content. I really like things that, you know, a lot of comedy and stuff, like Kusha Kapila mostly saying, they're so entertaining, but they also have a lot of heart and substance. I love things like what Beer Biceps puts up because it's so motivational and there's a lot of positive masculinity. So it's a mix of things. Like I watch every other OTT show as well. I do my swipes through Reels and we don't have TikTok anymore, but, you know, through people's stories. I really kind of like, I always have been a big fan of reality TV and I think social media is the biggest reality show in the world. Yeah. It's a little bit of everything.
In terms of content creation, let's say you want to publish some content. So what kind of content you enjoy creating yourself and putting it out there?
So, I mean, for me now, I'm kind of doing a mix of things that are inspiring for women. A lot of stuff that's boss lady. A lot of things that when you look at, you know, the kind of content we've always done in Bollywood, fashion, lifestyle, beauty, there's also a great opportunity to do stuff in everything from finance to relationships to, you know, mental health, all these different things. And you can do it in a fun way, which is why we created Girl Tribe, because I think the future social media is going to be community, micro communities, and people who bring communities together. And people bond over certain things, whether they love their pets or they love to travel or they love food. And so trying to give them everything that they need within that. And we've tried to marry our relationships with the entertainment and celebrity world to give really wholesome experiences to members of the tribe. So for example, you might know Shilpa Shetty and Malaika as actors, but they love yoga. And so we will do like a yoga class with them and do something that you normally would not have the opportunity to do.
Yeah. And you know, this is what that one serious question was going to be about. So it's I think I've seen this with a lot of US-based and, you know, European bloggers turned mediapreneurs, and then they starting their own ad agency or, you know, influencer or talent agency as well. But the thing with Girl Tribe and how you have created a community and the app specifically for this, how did that fit into your idea, and how did that inception really happen about Girl Tribe?
So it was interesting. So like I said, a lot of times when the platforms come here, whenever they're trying something new, they get in touch with us to, you know, test out a new product or a new vertical. And they had just launched Facebook groups. And they asked me if I want to try making a group. And I thought about it. I'm like, should I make a group about Bollywood or fashion? And then Women's Day had just gone by and my team had done an activation called Girl Tribe about Women's Day. And I thought that was so catchy. So I said, you know, why don't I make a Facebook group for women? And I just added 100 of my girlfriends, and it exploded so fast because there was no trolling. I mean, no offense to the men, but there's a lot of times there's a lot of nonsense that comes in the comments. And it was just great conversation. Even when there was 100 people, there was very vibrant conversation. And I was like, hang on, that means there is a space and a need. It's just that now if you look at most platforms, there's no way you actually go to make friends, right? Facebook is more, you see your older relatives are there, see what's going on with them. Instagram is a curation of glossy, perfect lives. Twitter is short format conversations in English. So where do you go to make friends? And that would be a group. So I then decided to make that group. It grew up to 70,000 people. And then I thought there are some features that I wish the group could have that is limiting on Facebook. So we decided to launch our own app. And we did that for two reasons. One, to obviously be able to make these tribes, to be able to help add features that the girls themselves want. And also because I feel on every other social media platform, it's become this race for likes and followers. And this currency, I don't really even know what it means. You know, so what, you got so many likes, so what, you got so many followers. At the end of the day, you're not seeing the people anymore. You're only seeing the number. So we wanted to change that. So on the Girl Tribe, there's no public display of likes and followers. You have positivity points that you earn by starting a conversation or commenting mindfully on someone else's post. And you can use those points in the Tribe store to actually buy and purchase real experiences and goods. And we want to change people's thinking of reward, because, you know, it's scientifically proven that the whole like and share and all of that kicks off some dopamine in your mind, which is why every time you get a ping, you actually have a physical reaction in your body that makes you feel good. It's like a drug. You want more of it. It's the same feeling when you eat chocolate or you have sex. It's that same high. So there's one other way to get the same high, which is called the helper's high, which is, if you think about it yourself, whenever you've done something selflessly for someone else, you feel the same dopamine hit. There has never been a situation where you've done something nice for someone and made them feel good where you didn't feel good yourself. And this is in your control. How much you give is always in your control. And here on the app, we wanted to say the more you give, the more you get, as opposed to you put up your content and you wait for someone to give you something. So I felt this was a really good way to change the perception of social media, because we keep talking about social media being so negative or trolling. But social media isn't some alien, you know, race that has showed up that we're dealing with. It's us. We are social media. So it's only up to us to change our behavior and how we look at it.
It's really nice, and how you have, you know, also scientifically, you know, made this entire tribe very, very interesting and, you know, safe space as well. And, you know, rewarding based on the positivity that you spread and the kindness that you will practice. Really great. I think it's a brilliant idea, and I will definitely recommend, and we'll just put the link of the app in the description of this episode so that other people can, you know, just check that out. Something I want to ask you, and this is like a common question that we ask on the Pepper Spotlight podcast, and this is for entrepreneurs and let's say for you as a individual creator as well. How do you manage your time, and what usually takes up your time in a day? Because I think everyone has just 24 hours, irrespective of how many businesses you run. If you are a content creator, freelancer, whatever, it's really important how we manage our time. So would love to know, how do you manage your time and what really takes up?
I swear by my Google Calendar. If it's not in my calendar, it's not going to happen. And my life is kind of different because no 2 days are alike, right? Some days there'll be a shoot or be interviews, or some days I'll be busy with the team doing meetings or planning, you know, what's happening next in the business. Some days I can just sit in pajamas and, you know, write my second book. So it's never the same. It is very hectic. I have a lot of, you know, I get very distracted because I have so much going on. If you see my laptop, I've got like 100 tabs open at one time. So it takes a lot of juggling, but I also have a great team. My manager, Yansha, is my lifeline. She does everything and really keeps me on track as well.
Super. You know, one last question, and then we'll wrap this up quickly, because I want to keep this focused to whatever few questions we have asked, but those are very, very insightful. And just want to know, when you look back in your entire journey, last 10, 15 years, what are some of the things that you really like feel that, okay, these were some points, some milestones, or, you know, some situations that have really shaped up my personality and who I am today? What are some of those key moments in your life?
I guess all the different mentors I have, for sure. Like, you know, you look back and you think about every job that you have, it's taught you something, right? Like dancing taught me teamwork. You can be the best dancer, but if you're not in sync in the choreography, it doesn't look good together. I learned how to really connect with people on the radio. This one thing that my boss at radio told me, it's like, even though millions of people are listening, everybody who's listening to a radio show, or even this podcast, for instance, is having a very individual experience. Even if there's six people in a room, you will think of the radio jockey and how you will picture them in your own mind. It's the theater of the mind, which is why everybody thinks their favorite RJs are so good looking. So I tried to take that same ethos to my blog, that I was speaking to a friend. I would always picture my best friend when I was doing my radio show and be talking to her excitedly, and take that back. And I think that's why the blog hit. And that's where the connection happened, that I wasn't reporting things like a Bollywood reporter. I was, you know, writing letters to you in a sense on my blog. Those things I've learned a lot of. I've learned a lot about how important it is to build really good team culture and an environment that people want to come to. We spend 8-10 hours of our day with these people, either physically or now online. And you really need your life to feel wholesome. That gone are the days where everyone just worked, sat in a desk, stared at the wall, got their paycheck. Everybody wants more now. And everybody has more opportunities now. So especially when you run a business, it's very, you know, very important to nurture that. And I'm proud that we've had employees who stayed with us for 8-9 years, which is sort of unheard of in life today. And so many people who even have left have come back because they really missed the environment. So I think I've really realized that. And I think more than anything, I've really realized how important it is to pause and think about when you're posting something or you're reacting to something on social media, think about how you would do it in real life. We have forgotten, and I'm really writing my second book on this topic, that we go online and we behave in a way that we never would in real life. Even us who think of ourselves as good people, we might write a nasty comment or write, you know, something sarcastic, or, you know, the thing, even if you think about something as simple as if someone's poured their heart out to you, you wouldn't just do this or this and walk away. You would have some meaningful response. So I've thought more and more about how important it is to be meaningful in your exchanges, even if you have fewer of them in virtual reality.
Wow. Thank you so much, Malini, for being on the show, because it's just been short time, but this has been a very, very insightful conversation. Very, very, very excited to share this across all our audience. And we're going to mention all the links to your website and the app as well in the description of this episode so that people can check that out. But thank you so much once again for giving us your time today.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I hope you enjoyed this conversation, and if you liked any part of this, please go ahead, share it with other friends or freelancers or content marketers or creators that you are connected to. If you have any suggestions as to whom we should invite on the show next, please, please go ahead, DM us and just tag us in your tweets when you're sharing this episode. It's really like a humble request. It's been 32 episodes that we have been doing this show. It's completely okay, and we deserve that. We have some 1,000 followers on Spotify and some 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, but we see very few story mentions or tweet mentions about this show. We sometimes also need that validation. We know you're listening to this and watching this, but that little validation and story mention just makes us really, really happy. So please go ahead, make somebody's day, if not mine, the entire team who's working on this show. But thank you so much once again for listening and watching to Pepper Spotlight. If you have any recommendations or suggestions or questions, please feel free to reach us directly on Twitter or Instagram. We are @Pepper_content. And remember about what I said about Elevate Content Summit. The link is in the description of this episode.